Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Thanks for being with us. This is turning into a very special edition of the Drive Guys. Kyle Draper, you know, it takes two guys to replace him.
Yeah.
So Drapes is in San Antonio. So Jerry Reynolds filling in. And then Chris Watkins was hanging some jerseys here. And I asked him, hey, buddy, if you want to hang out, talk hoops with us. And here he is, Chris Watkins.
Yeah.
You and Jerry, you and Jerry got a thing, don't you? You guys are
We're buds. You know.
This is really more about Jerry being here. I get it.
By the way, somebody on the on the chat, McToads, talking about you. I appreciate Chris doing post game every single game. Much respect.
Oh, yeah. Yes, appreciate you tuning in. It's some nights are funner than others. You know, those Houston games were really testing my love of the job. I was considering having to go to our bosses after those games and say, hey, you know, I understand we're trying to grow our digital, but I think I might need an extra dollar or two if I'm going to have to watch those games and then talk about them. But, yeah, it's been really fun, and it's a great opportunity to kind of, you know, just get my thoughts out. It's more of a therapeutic thing sometimes where it's just let me thought dump for 20 minutes here, and then it's nice to get some interaction.
Last night was fun then. Right?
It was great. It was great. Yeah, last night was awesome. Jerry said it, and it's there's nothing better than beating the Lakers. There's the feeling that you get, especially a wire-to-wire victory. The only thing better might have been a game winner that would have really, you know, stabbed them in the heart. But that's a nice close second. I'll take a blowout.
Yeah, and it did get a little dicey there down the stretch, didn't it?
Yeah, sure. It did. I mean, the Lakers they got LeBron James, and you know he's not going to go away, and he's going to create some things, and he did. And fortunately, the Kings could fight him off. I mean, I think they were, you know, just a better team, and a better team having a good game, and LeBron didn't really get a lot of help.
I just kept telling myself, literally, I was saying to myself, you take care of the ball and you make your free throws and you win. You know, and the lead was dwindling. And I just kept saying, you take care of the ball and you make your free throws. It's basketball law. If you do that, you will win, which is generally true. They did miss a few free throws here and there, but ultimately they won that thing going away.
Yeah, and that is a good good way to put it, because you take care of the ball, you make your free throws, you got a lead, you likely win. Now, it's also true they didn't take good care of the ball.
I know.
Fortunately, the Lakers took less care of the ball.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that works too, you know. It's like, we're sloppy, but boy, look at those guys.
Yeah, and on the other end, it's like, you know, the Lakers, I was looking at their numbers before the game. They lead the league right now in free throw discrepancy, where they're taking significantly more free throws than what they're giving up. On a night like last night, it kind of feels like it works in the Kings' favor, because, you know, they're shooting like 71% or something absurdly terrible at the free throw line. And so, you know, you could argue maybe the Kings go to the free throw line 10 more times in that fourth quarter. Maybe that actually helps the Lakers with the way they've been shooting free throws recently.
Yeah, Jerry and Chris, that's one of the things about the Kings this year that's driven me a little batty, and I know it's going to be an up-and-down year, but they were like second in the league in fewest turnovers, and they were taking care of the ball. And now, you know, they've had some, I think, what, they have 15 last night? They had 16 team turnovers for 27 points. They had, 20 against Portland? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I know some of that's without Fox, but this is, even without Fox, even with Fox in the lineup, Domas gets a little loosey-goosey with the basketball.
He does, you know, and I think, too, that he had a couple turnovers last night that I thought, well, that's cutters quit cutting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, a passer doesn't get to bring the ball back once it's
right.
You got to run your route. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought Doc Rivers was great. I really enjoyed Doc on the broadcast on ESPN, but he pointed that out, you know, and of course, I thought it was great that he pointed out how Kings, after made baskets, are scoring to 4 seconds off the clock.
That's real pace right there.
That is.
A lot of time, pace is talked about off of missed baskets, but the fact that, I mean, what are you supposed to do? That's where it's like the mental side of the game comes into play, where, you know, you spend 20 seconds to get a good shot, you get the layup, and then 4 seconds later you look and they just answered back. It doesn't come that easy to us.
Yeah, because pretty soon it's like, they're getting theirs, and whoop, we didn't get ours.
They're
getting theirs, and whoop, we didn't get ours.
Yeah, and I know, talking to you over the years, that's a basketball truism. Well, it's hard to fast break when you're taking the ball out of the bottom of the net. Well, it's hard, but it's not impossible, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that one of those things that blew my mind is, because I've said for years, well, you know, if you can't stop, you know, you're not going to be able to run if you're getting scored on.
Yeah.
Well, I found out that you can. And so, yeah. You know, I mean, the old thing, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, this old dog learned one new trick, that's for sure.
But teams just didn't used to try that before.
That's a big thing. And as I think Chris pointed out, too, now you're seeing teams, it's part of the strategy, push it up, shoot threes. You know, you don't have to push it up. If you're going to push it up to try to get into a half-court set, it wouldn't necessarily be the same thing.
Right. And how much of that is, too, just like, you know, people, it's not as fundamental as it used to be. Like, people just don't get – they don't rush back on defense. You know, a lot of the time LeBron will drive and
especially
he'll get
Lakers,
hit. And it's
right?
like,
especially
ref,
the
where's the call? And then by the time he's done complaining, turns around, it's 4-on-5 the other way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, now you what you see is a strung-out court. You know, used to be, I mean, you'd see all 10 guys kind of in an area. But almost never do you see that.
Right.
You know, there'd be three or six guys here and four guys down there, and so it just keeps going. You know, it's like a drill. You know, how you do high school drills and stuff.
Yeah.
It's always spread out. So it's kind of, you know, I love the game. I mean, I liked watching it. Like I say, I mean, I think it's a – but it's unique. It's unique to this time frame,
definitely.
You know, where the value of the three is a key. Yeah.
I mean – I think from the Kings standpoint or the standpoint of a Kings fan, one of the things that's most encouraging about that game last night, maybe most encouraging, is that from the jump, the Kings just took it to the Lakers. They set the tone. They dominated them. And you could see the Lakers were on their heels from the early moments of that game. Like the Kings were – They were pushing them around and having their way.
Yeah, no, I talked about it a lot today. I think the fact that LeBron had as good of a first half as he did, to me, that was a sign of exactly what you're talking about. Because a guy like LeBron, 38 years old, year 21, last thing he wants to do on the second night of a back-to-back is in the first half have to give his team 20 points and set everything up the way he was. To me, that was the sign that LeBron, who's always had a great sense of his team and you know where his team is at any given moment in time, I think he looked around yesterday as that first quarter was going on and said, I think this is on me. Like, I think I have to do something or else this is going to be 40-15 at the end of this quarter.
Well, I think that's exactly – and he did.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
I mean, and
that's what makes him
You know, I thought Doc really pointed out a good thing, too, last time. I don't want to get into a Doc love fest here.
Too late.
Okay. but he pointed out, you know, that LeBron – you know, he said, look, watch LeBron. He is really breathing hard. You know, they had it close up as on a free throw. You know, he was clearly, you know, trying to get his breath, you know. And, of course, it goes back to what Chris was saying. He had to do so much work early.
Right.
And he got him back sort of in place. And then, but he was probably used up.
Just gassed. I mean, yeah.
I think the Kings are really, you can see they're really embracing everything Mike Brown is preaching. And speaking of, you know, running after a made basket, they're learning to be if they don't get discouraged when they give up a basket. So they're becoming a much better defensive team just because, you know, we saw it before earlier in the year when they weren't making shots, kind of the shoulders would droop. And I've noticed last couple of games, you know, Cleveland scored a lot of points on them. And the Lakers, you know, their offensive numbers were pretty good. But the Kings, they had their defensive moments, but when they were scored upon, it didn't bother them at all. It's like, all right, we'll just go down and score on you. It's just kind of a relentlessness that they're playing with now.
It really is. And then, of course, they've got the one advantage over all teams, I think, in the league. They've got a center who runs hard every time and creates numbers in the break himself. Even Jokic doesn't really do that to that level.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, that's a great point. I haven't even really thought about that. But, yeah, I mean, I think – excuse me. I think just with how well they're playing right now, it just feels like everything it feels as simple to say it's all De'Aaron. De'Aaron coming back really just brings the puzzle back together. But – you know, yeah, Domantas Sabonis definitely is a huge reason why they're playing as well as they are right now.
Oh, we'll take a quick time out. When we come out, we'll see. Oh, come back, I should say. Pardon me. We'll see how Chris feels about this. Jerry and I have a little bit of a disagreement on Sabonis, where he is and where he's going. Will you break the tie for us if we go to Watkins Attraction?
Gladly.
All right,
absolutely.
We will do that next. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jerry and Chris and Whitey today with Kyle in San Antonio. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Buddy Gleason, Jerry Reynolds, Chris Watkins. What is Chris Watkins doing here?
I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Did he oversleep or something? Missed a shift?
I did oversleep today, actually.
Oh, did you?
Funny enough, yeah, this was the first time where I've almost overslept an on-air shift.
But, huh.
Yeah, got up just in time to get here with some reasonable time.
Before. Well, you were probably just so excited.
So excited.
It was hard to sleep last night after that.
It was impossible. Yeah, I don't know how anyone's supposed to sleep when, you know, you got the beam in the sky. It's brighter than ever, and you got the Lakers losing. And I don't know how anyone slept.
Ain't life wonderful?
It's great. Yeah.
Life is great. Of course, I have to tell you, 3:14, this is usually when I take my nap, afternoon nap.
That's why I'm here right now.
I always watch Pardon Interruption, and I take a nap.
That's why you love that show.
We got
show
a sofa
so much,
down the hall. We can set that up
Pardon
for you.
My nap. Yeah. Duncan joins us, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, Duncan. How are you?
Hey, you guys. I'm well, thanks. I just wanted to continue, you know, since I have an opportunity, the Doc Rivers Love Fest.
Yes.
So I used to have season tickets right behind the opponent's bench in the old Arco Arena. And Doc would, like, he knew I was a mouthy guy. He would come over and engage me. And he would say stuff like, you know, when I was playing, they wouldn't let us keep playing on that.
Mm-hmm.
He always had a lot of great, you know, great one-liners. So that was fun. But I loved how, if you go back and look at the opening tip-off from that game, Fox basically stole the tip and ran between four guys and laid that ball in and then went right into his little skip. And it was like it was on right then and there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Duncan. Doc's a smart guy, right?
Oh,
you got a loud mouth. You kind of befriend him, and you kind of neutralize the guy, and you're ahead of the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Doc's been there, done that. And, you know, I always remember just, you know, first time I ever met him, he was playing at Marquette. And I was a college division coach, and they were practicing in my gym in Kansas City to play, I think, University of Missouri on a neutral site. And, you know, he's just one of the guys, he came over to thank me, you know, for which I – you know, no reason to. School's getting paid.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's, you know, not, I mean, maybe one out of 1,000 players over the years would bother to do that. Yeah. I would say, you know, that guy, besides being a really good player, I sure hope he does well. Of course, the rest is history.
Yeah. And he was a, people forget now because he's been coaching so long. Right. He was a really good player.
Really good player. And, yeah, in fact, the last time I got thrown out of a game, I was on the floor, and I remember Doc went up and said, "Coach, you can't do that. They're going to throw you out."
And playing the Hawks?
Well, I looked around. Yeah. It was about half court, and then too late, Dan. I said,
when he was with Atlanta?
Yeah, with the Hawks, yeah. Yeah, they were really good, you know, and we weren't, but but we were ahead. Yeah, I think we were ahead of them at the time, but I could see it coming.
The wheels coming off. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, Dominique.
That team used to, in pregame warmups, they used to put on an absolute show because they had not Doc so much, but Kevin Willis, and they had Dominique, and they had Spud Webb and Kevin Willis. These guys it would be like a dunk contest in their pregame. It was incredible. I remember I went to a game in Oakland, and I saw it, and I called my brother, and I said, "Hey, when they're playing the Kings, you got to make sure you don't miss their pregame." It was amazing. And years later, on this station, we talked to Mike Fratello, who was an analyst then, and he had been their coach. And I asked him about that, and he said, "Yeah, I had to tell him, guys, you are expending way too much energy in the pregame. You got to save something for the game." But it was amazing.
Well, especially Spud, you know, when he was – you know, he could still dunk pretty good with us at the end, near the end of his career. He's a better player by the time he got to us. But, I mean, just a physical marvel. I mean, 5'6", maybe 135 pounds. I mean, the thing that always amazed me the most about Spud was, you know, he kept getting a little better, but he never got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, people always say, oh, you know. But he was so quick and athletic, guys couldn't get to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like a great receiver.
Yeah.
Just knows how to stay out of contact. Mm-hmm. But
he had just massive thighs, didn't he? Because that was
I don't think anything was massive on him. No. He's a 135-pound guy.
Boy.
But, I mean, it's like the way you jump. I always said, I used to kid him. I said, you know, I don't think gravity takes effect on you. You know, he's so light or something.
Did you trade for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we traded Travis Mays for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Mays was a Mata guy, huh?
Let's see. Well, I drafted him, but I figured out after about a year that, boy, it wasn't going to work.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And and he was out of the league in another year.
Uh-huh.
And so we got Spuds. Yeah. He and Mitch were really good together.
Right.
And so, it worked out good. But the Spud, I always remember my wife picked him up at the airport to come to camp. We got just right after we traded. And he wouldn't speak. You know, he was pissed. he didn't want to be traded, you know.
Uh-huh.
Of course, my wife, she, you know, after we had dropped him off and, you know, we was trying to make small talk and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so she said, "Can he talk?" I said, "Yeah, he can. He doesn't want to." And then, of course, I always got a kick about a year later. So I was telling him about that. And, of course, I was telling him, you know, for a year or so you wouldn't talk. Now you can't shut up. And now every time I see you, you want to jabberjaw me.
Yeah. So here's a dispute, a mild dispute Jerry and I have on Sabonis.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're smart, you'll side with him.
Of course.
But I was watching the game last night. I know we talked about this on the crossover. Watched the game last night and just marveling at the way Sabonis is playing. And mm-hmm. last year, I think you and I even talked about this when we were doing a show together. I was thinking, you know, Domas, the year he had last year, that's probably as good as he's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So far this year, like last night, a good example, I'm feeling like, wow, maybe there's more there. And Jerry just feels like, you know, you take into account good games, bad games. He's going to be where he always is because he's just that consistent.
Yeah, I think I fall more so on Jerry's side, not just because that's the smart side to be on, but I actually do agree with it. I think that, it's tough to imagine where he gets better without almost drastically changing his game, but he would have to, like, add a legitimate three-point shot, I think, for his game to look anything near, to kind of go to a next level. I think he's very much a Jokic light, and that's not disrespectful because Nikola Jokic is, I think, right now the best player in the world. But I think just the clear difference between the two is, Sabonis is a fantastic passer, the best non-Jokic big man passer in the NBA. But Jokic, even still, is just at a generational level of vision that Sabonis just isn't going to get. You're either born with that kind of passing ability or you're not.
He would know. But
I don't think he's going to be able to exceed his playmaking ability. And then his scoring is just limited. It just is, not in a bad way, but just he's a very post-centric, old-school style guy. He's not going to, you know, even we saw in the playoff series, he's even hesitant to take, you know, a little Chris Webber elbow jumper kind of gives him a little bit of trepidation.
Yeah. Even this season, many times you can see he's looked at it. Pass.
And you know, that's him trying to adjust his game to today's league, but I think, you know, you can't change a dog's spot or whatever it is. You can't change his spots. He is who he is. And, you know, he's going to try and adapt to make his game a little bit better for today's game. But I think he, very much like Jerry said, he's just always going to get those numbers. And I think at this point in his career, it's just going to be tough to be much better than he is.
I think that saying, isn't it a leopard can't change his spots?
I think
isn't
that's
that what it is.
Well, leopard has spots, so I think it would be.
Yeah. I was going to say, it was some mixture of you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Yeah.
Would be weird if they could change their spots. Yeah, that would be confusing.
Yeah, exactly. You got my point.
Yeah.
I think that he's an incredibly talented player, but, you know, there's levels to everybody's game, not a knock on him. I just don't think he can get to that kind of level.
When you get to be 27, 28, you know, that's what I said about Vezinkov.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I don't think that there's a guy's kind of who he is. In his case, you know, he'll learn the league and there's going to be improvements.
Right.
But to say, you know, kind of compare him to Peja, who is 19, no, it's not the same.
No, it's not happening.
It's just not happening. But I don't think. I'd like to be wrong. But, I mean, same way with Domas. I mean, he is playing at a high level. He has for a couple
of
years.
Yes. And I'm not disputing that. Yeah.
People always say, well, boy, he really got good when he got. No, he was really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he made the All-Star
team. Yeah.
Right. And he got his 19 or 20 points on 12 shots. He's getting his 19 points on 12 shots.
Yeah.
You know, so. he is who he is, and that's really good.
You know, so to the point you just made, that's what stands out about last night is he took 19 shots.
That's what I was going to say as well.
Just recognizing where the weak spot of the Laker defense was, at least for last night.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, that was going back to the worst game I've ever seen him play, the second game against Houston, where he had 4 shots. I mean, that's no.
It just can't happen. That's just one of those where you look at the box score.
No, he doesn't have to shoot 19, but he shouldn't shoot 4.
Right, exactly.
You know, of course, I've always said, you know, he really ought to get to 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. Take a couple of those 15-footers. He made one last night. He did make a 3 as well. But, but I mean, I think those two, a couple of 50 little elbow shots.
Yeah, just a couple more.
Just a couple more.
And because what it can open up, I think, is the bigger thing.
Yeah, you don't care if he makes them necessarily.
No, it's just having the threat of having your guy step out and then what that does for, you know, the counter of it and all that stuff. Yeah, I would love to see Sabonis take more shots. But even then, I don't necessarily think that means he's going to change his impact at all. I think it might just mean that he scores a little bit more and maybe drops an assist or two.
Yeah, what do you even want him to?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I think there's a case where we know who the best scorer is, and you know, and then he's got guys to get shots for, and I think that's part of the real strength of him as well as the team.
Mm-hmm. I will also throw in 19 shot attempts, but normally he has about 7 free throws. Last night he had 2, so you know that that also helps take away some shot attempts.
Great point by Chris Watkins. When we come back, Reynolds remembers. Speaking of rebounders. Ooh. Going to ask Jerry about the greatest rebounder in Sacramento Kings history, and we'll get back to your calls as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We got Chris Watkins hanging out with us today. Jerry Reynolds in for Kyle to drive guys on Sacktown Sports.
Debo 10, Debo 5, Debo touchdown! San Francisco!
That's the 49ers team we all know and love.
Bosa's got another sack.
San Francisco got back on track and looks to keep things rolling Sunday at home versus Tampa Bay.
Purdy under center, a 5-step drop. Now going to pump and throw down the sideline. Kittle, he's got it and he's gone.
It's the 49ers and Buccaneers Sunday at 1 on Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
No Kyle Draper today. We have special guests Chris Watkins. We appreciate Chris hanging out. And, of course, the one and only Jerry Reynolds. Quick question for you, Jerry, on the YouTube chat. How many times, Jerry, did you get thrown out of games from CK916?
I remember twice. I mean, I think that's all it was. I got kicked out in Dallas. And then at home against Atlanta, against the Mavericks, they told me to go away.
Yeah. And, so the magic one where you said just give them the whistle, you didn't get thrown out. You got teed up, but you didn't get thrown out?
Yeah, I didn't get thrown out, no. Yeah. I mean, I was threatened some, but, you know, was, me and Joey Crawford got into it.
Once. Oh, really?
Yeah, of course, Joey was easy to get into it with. But he, you know, he said something, and I said maybe the F word to him.
Uh-huh. And, friend.
And, well, and then,
hello, friend.
Yeah. Joey, friend you. And and he said, Jerry, friend you back. Uh-huh. And anyway, the league heard about it, and they were going to discipline him, you know, because even though it's – but I told him, I said, no, it's my fault. Yeah. And, you know, I said, you shouldn't do anything. You know, I started it. Uh-huh. Which I did. Uh-huh. And Joey, I always remember Joey, a few games later down the road, he was doing a game. He came up and said, man, I really appreciate that.
Really?
Yeah. He said, you know, that's really nice of you to do it. And I always remember saying, you know, jokingly, friend you, Joey.
Hoping for a couple good calls that night, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, never forget. I scratched your back, Joey. Now it's your time to return the favor, you know.
Well, I've told Whitey, I always liked about every game, before the game started, I'd go out to referees and just ask them, I said, would you guys consider cheating the other team? And they always said no. I mean, it didn't mean they probably might have considered cheating us.
Like they always say, it doesn't hurt to ask.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
Exactly.
But your buddy Alan Stiles, I'm just asking.
I'm just asking a question. Look, David, Stern, Mr. Stern, I'm just asking a question. That's it. Okay.
That's it.
I didn't say how much dollar, how many. Asking if you'd be open to consideration.
I hope Jerry doesn't mind me telling this story, but he's told me before that he actually had kind of a meeting with Commissioner Stern one time. And Jerry said Commissioner Stern was terrifying.
Oh. I was at a league meeting, and I was a young person. I had some questions.
Uh-huh.
And I raised my hand and asked the questions. And anyway, Sacramento, what are you? You know, I kind of melted down in my seat. And that ended my questions. Yeah. For a while, but yeah, he ran a tight ship. Let's put it that way. A couple of the older guys at that time, you know, than me, and they said, "I could have told you, Terry. You know, wait.
Save your questions for after class,
or wait a few more years. You haven't been here long enough.
I live and learn. 339-1140-1800-920-1140 Talk to Kenny. Let's see what Kenny has for us here. Kenny, you're on with Drive Guys. What's up today?
Travis May is one of the four freshmen, right, Jerry?
Yeah, he was, and picked 14th. And, you know, he had a couple of really good rookie games. You know, I think he had 30-some against. But, you know, the problem was twofold, really. He wasn't he's 6'2 and not really a point guard.
Right. And he had to.
Yeah, you know, a tiny two-guard at that time. And I could see it wasn't going to work. And then the other part was he really thought he was a great point guard. And so that created its own set of issues, as one might perceive.
So a friend of mine used to live with neighbors Spud and Wayman down in a lakeside community down in the Pocket area. And he said there was nothing funnier that he'd seen in his life than the two of them out in a rowboat on the lake with Wayman's end about below the waterline and Spud sitting about 3 feet up in the air at the other end of the boat.
I'll tell you, I'd love to see that. You're right, though. I mean, what two great guys. I mean,
They were thick as thieves, those two, from what I understand. They just loved each other.
Yeah.
Wanted to get Jerry's take on Robin Finker, that guy that was talking back to Doc Rivers. I'm sure you got some stories about old Robin back in the day.
Thank you, Kenny.
He
was almost a professional heckler.
Yeah, heckler. Yeah, I in my book, I told a story. It was really a true story. I thought it was kind of funny. But he's on my butt pretty good, which he's on everybody's butt.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He never used profanity.
Uh-huh.
You know, he just was.
I think really, he was based in D.C.?
D.C., yeah. And back in the old arena, he'd sat just right behind the home or the visiting bench. And, you know, he'd going through the game and he kept saying, Reynolds, Jerry Reynolds. Finally, I said, what? He said, Jerry, I've been trying to figure it out for years. How did you get an assistant coach uglier than you are? And of course, in those days, I had one guy named Herman Cull. And I turned and said, well, I don't know, but I did. And you know, the players, they all but broke up.
Yeah.
You know, they started laughing. But Herman, he got pissed. So that was kind of the one I remember. I mean, but he was witty without being vulgar. You know.
I think that guy might have been an attorney or something.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was an attorney.
Yeah. Really?
And I don't know why, you know, what happened that he quit. But that was his joy, I guess, creating grief. You know, and
now today with social media, a guy doing that would be a huge star.
Yeah.
Everyone would know who he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably in like a bad way, because he would probably like post it on social media. Yeah. Hey, I really got LeBron to react to me today, and you know, here's my video. And so, he probably, because I know there's like some baseball guy who's notorious for catching all these fly balls and, you know, popular home run balls and things like that, and people can't stand him. They're like this guy. You know, even though back in the day, or, you know, that's a thing to do at the ballpark, but it feels like, you know, you try and make it your thing, you try and make it your shtick in today's age, and people are like, not so warm on it.
Here's a question for you, Jerry. We were just talking about Sabonis, a great rebounder, led the NBA in rebounding. All time, Reynolds remembers, here asking Reynolds to remember, Sacramento Kings history, who was the best rebounder in your professional opinion?
In Sacramento Kings history, you know, I actually think it's Sabonis.
Really?
I mean, and the numbers probably prove that. I mean, I think there's guys that were more talented, and Mike rebound per minute better, but, you know, he led the league. He's the only player that I know of in Kings history, Sacramento, that has led the league in rebounding.
Now, my guess would have been Otis Thorpe. That's what I would have guessed you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, Otis was a good rebounder, but I think even at that time, probably LaSalle Thompson might have been even better.
Mm-hmm.
And LaSalle was very good. I mean, I think Otis was a really solid defensive rebounder, didn't really do well on the offensive board. I don't know. Mm-hmm. All the reasons.
In his Kings tenure, Otis Thorpe's season high was 10.2 rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm. So 10.2 is less than 12.3.
Is that confirmed? Is that true?
Yes. And of course, Jerry knows this, but that's also with, you know, less possessions in back in the day. You know,
right.
Nowadays, you know, the amount of shots that are put up, more shots equals more rebounds. Back in the day, 10 rebounds, you know, there's less shots going around.
I'll say this, you're right. In the 80s and so, but then again, you go back into the 60s.
Right.
It's just absolutely, there are more rebounds than there are today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, those old Nuggets teams and things like that.
That's how, I mean, not to take anything Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell, but that's how
those guys finished at 25 rebounds a game.
It's had as many as 55 in a game.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah.
So,
in that 1988 season, Otis Thorpe was ninth in the league in rebounds per game.
Wow.
Yeah, last night the Lakers had 43 and the Kings had 45. And there was a Wilt that had 55. One of those two had.
I think he had 55 in one game.
In a game.
Average 25 in the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that year he averaged 50 points. And we've talked about this. I mean, you know, there's a lot of the modern day players said that you have a list of records for humans. And then, and Wilt has
his
own. And then all the rest, you know, Wilt averaged 37 as a rookie and led the league in assist near the end of his career with a 69-win Lakers.
And I know some people will say things like, oh, he was playing against plumbers, but he was playing, there were so few teams he had to play against Bill Russell, you know, all the time. Right?
Well, and I would say, too, it's a little bit like, you know, it was a different time, but 8 or 10 teams.
Yeah.
Well, there were guys, you know, who were great players that, like Willis Reed told me, he said, you know, I was the ninth pick in the draft. I was in the second round.
Yeah.
First pick in the second round.
Right.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you got to kind of.
Right.
You know, the guys that made rosters, I mean, to make a 10-man roster, which is about as far as they went then. Occasionally 12, but mostly just 10 because of cost. Mm. I mean, there are a lot of All-Americans
who never
going to make it. They weren't spots.
We'll come back and we'll ask Jerry about this. Sabonis, C-Webb, who's better? Who is a better player? Who's contributed more to the Kings? Where are we with that whole C-Webb, Sabonis debate? It's Chris Watkins, Jerry Reynolds, Whitey Gleason. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Kings over the Lakers last night. I know you know this. I just like saying it, 125 to 110. Chris Watkins is hanging out with us today. Jerry Reynolds with Kyle Draper in San Antonio getting ready for tomorrow's game. How many wins do you guys see in the rest of this road trip for the Kings?
There's five left, right?
Yeah, there's five left.
You win the first one, that's great. You got a back-to-back in there. You got Minnesota in there.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who else? And Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you guys talked about this yesterday. Yesterday I predicted 5-1. That was a little ambitious. That was, you know, if things are going to go great. I'll stick to it, though. Why not? I'll say they'll go 5-1 the rest of the trip. And it feels like one of those New Orleans games is just a schedule loss. They're playing the first one. That's going to be the second night of a back-to-back flying in from Dallas. It just feels like New Orleans traditionally also is just a tough place to play for, I feel like, a lot of different reasons.
I don't know. Maybe
mainly
I need to raise my standards. But to me, just a six-game trip, I know they won last night. 3-3 to me on this trip is like, that ain't bad.
Oh, anytime you go 500 road trip. But, yeah, I think they could go 4-2. I mean, I'm kind of like, I think Minnesota's going to be a tough game for them. And then just the fact you're playing the Pelicans twice. And then I would really be concerned if McCollum gets back. I don't know what his injury status is because I think he means, you know, and they've had several guys out. Murphy's still out.
Mm-hmm.
Zion's
always in or out. You never know what you're going to get with that.
Ingram just came back. So, but I mean, I think McCollum is the real key there. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have anybody that's going to move the basketball. except him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really unfortunate what's going on with Zion, whatever it is, because we know they traded AD, and then so they, you know, they got to rebuild everything. They did a good job getting some young assets there. Then you end up with Zion. It's like, okay, now we can build. And they've never quite been able to build around him because he's not all the way in. And if Zion's not in, I mean, you have to start to question whether New Orleans has an NBA future, don't you?
Well, I think you do. And, I mean, the other part of it is the other guy, Brandon Ingram, misses a lot of games. Uh-huh. Now, you know, I don't question the injuries. I mean, mm-hmm. but he's not – he misses a lot of games. And he's really – you know, he's an all-star level player as well. So those are the two guys, along with McCollum, that make the mm-hmm. potential – I mean, that's why they could be really good. And it, so if they're not available, that's why they're not.
Yeah, and it's one thing if a guy's not available, but for Zion to say, I'm trying to buy in.
Yeah, those comments the other day were scary. That's like the most scary thing I think I've ever heard a superstar say before. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I mean, especially because he's the one. It's not like he's one of the pieces. He is the one. Like, if they're going to be serious, it's going to be because Zion Williamson is an MVP candidate. And when you have that label and you're out here saying, you know, like, I know a big talking point last year was, am I going to buy in? Well, I'm trying. I'm trying to buy
you're
in.
You're almost better off if he says I'm
just
not.
Don't say anything. Right? Yeah,
but I'm trying.
No.
The whole thing is in limbo waiting on him.
Everything, The entire team, the entire city, the entire organization is all on his shoulders, and it seems like he's kind of the only one that doesn't see that doesn't understand that it is as – it goes as far as him. The bell stops at him.
And that's another thing that's so great about being a fan of this Kings team because they're in.
Yeah.
They're all in.
They're all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't give Coach Brown enough credit or you know, you got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's true, and it starts there as well as your stars. And I think as long as you – with Fox and Sabonis, you've got two elite players at their positions that are totally – in buying in. And Fox, mm-hmm. certainly people say, well, look at how, you know, in the fourth quarter he'll do this or that. I said, wait a minute. He basically blends in for three quarters. If you need him to take over a game, he can and will do that. He's doing his job.
Yeah.
He's more than, I mean, you know, De'Aaron Fox, if you know, he can go a quarter and shoot two balls. He you know, there's not a selfish bone in his body. He's just really gifted.
Right.
And the same way with Sabonis. I mean, he's not the same level of athlete, but I mean, there's not his flaw is he's too unselfish, mm-hmm. if anything.
Yeah, and that's, you've said before, that's potentially a flaw with Keegan as well.
Yeah.
Too unselfish.
Too unselfish. And but it's easier to get guys to kind of be a little more selfish or what I call a little hungrier. Mm-hmm. And it is take somebody that's a selfish prick and get them to
reel it in a little.
Reel it in. You know, so. So there is that.
Yeah. Where are we with the debate about Domas and C-Webb? Who was the better player for the Kings? And I know the book's not closed on Domas yet, but I've always felt like, wow, there's only one Chris Webber. But Domas is just – he's so consistent, and there's just a relentlessness to his game. And extremely efficient. Extremely efficient.
Yeah. To me, I mean, he doesn't have any – where near the talent overall of Webb. Mm-hmm. But I will say, in fairness to him, I think he plays harder, more consistently. You know, I mean, and probably, you know, C-Webb, as good as he could pass, really didn't consistently set good screens like and that's another mm-hmm. part of, you know, which those are skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take the punishment, give the punishment.
You're a big fan of screen assists, aren't you?
I am a big fan of screen assists.
Leads the league in them all the time.
Yeah. He sets better screens and more screens than any big in the league. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, I mean, when you really get down to talent, though, I mean, let's say in the last 6 minutes of a game, C-Webb's going to – he can win you a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he – you know, where I don't think Domas just individually is that same level, just individual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question real quick? We were talking about – Domantas Sabonis, and we were actually just talking about aggressiveness and, you know, the selfishness angle of all this, and also the best rebounders in Kings history. When we were talking about that, I instantly thought about Harrison Barnes, just somebody who I feel like my biggest gripe with Harrison has been, I just think he's so talented and he has the capability to do so much. And too many times, more often than not, he ends up not giving you a lot. It's like he can do all of these things, but instead of doing a little bit of everything, you get a whole lot of nothing. And maybe that's a little disrespectful, but where do you feel like he kind of, like I feel like he's one of those guys when you talk about somebody who's so unselfish, oh, it's almost to a fault. I feel like with him, a lot of the time you look at the box score and it's just, you just want a little bit more from him. And whether it be, it doesn't always have to be in the scoring department, but like I feel like rebounds last night, he plays 38 minutes, finishes with one rebound. How does that happen? Like, first and foremost, let me ask the rebounding question. People talk about defense being an effort thing all the time. And of course, you know, having athletic ability helps there as well. Is rebounding one of those things as well that's kind of an effort thing, or is there more that goes into it than just really wanting to go after the ball?
Well, I think, you know, in today's game, it is to some degree an effort thing because there's not a lot of contested rebounds, so it's right. just a matter of tracking them.
Right.
You know, you go back years and years, well, there's always the contested rebounds that made the difference. You know, with in today's game, there's a lot of probably 80% of the rebounds nobody
right.
is really fighting for. You just get them if you go after them.
Right.
And so to that point, I think Harrison does fall short.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought, and you guys might see it differently, but I think with Harrison, you know, I've always thought that he's a kind of an old school type player
yeah.
in the sense that if I was going to second guess Coach Brown, and I know he's 10 times smarter than I'll ever be, but I would, you know, I think he's the kind of guy you've got to find stuff for him
mm-hmm.
and say, Harrison, we've got this, we got a play for you.
Yeah.
We're going to look for you here. We need you. When Domas is high on this, on the, you know, the dribble handoffs, mm-hmm. we want you to slide underneath and post up.
Yeah.
You know, just things that he knows that we're looking for you.
Right.
Specifically
yeah.
to these things.
That sounds like a good answer because, again, a lot of the time it feels like he's just – he's again unselfish to the point where it's I think to a fault where it's like no dude, like have some ego, like you're a very talented guy yourself, like put your imprint on this game, and even if you miss the shot, like you should, I want Harrison to look at having Cam Reddish on the other side of him defending him and say, I'm Harrison Barnes, like I was at one point the number two recruit, you know, people had high hopes for me at one point in my career, I could take this kid. Even if this play isn't drawn up for me, I recognize this moment, and let me just pick and choose this spot right here, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just think, you know, he has a tendency. He's unselfish and fits into a fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like be a little bit selfish, you know. And I think the team probably should encourage that as well.
Sure.
I think last night was a good example of how Harrison Barnes, sometimes it's on how you – perceive him. And I know you guys are right. There are definitely, it's not hard to find some things that you'd like him to do better consistently. But last night, you know, he had 13 points last night on 10 shots, and he hit three threes, and he had some four steals. And yeah, he only had one rebound. And I heard Willie call you guys today, and it was a great call.
Yeah.
And I understand that. Well, the Kings held their own on the glass. So, in a way, if your team's rebounding well enough
right.
and one guy doesn't have a lot, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
Nobody that he was guarding destroyed you. I mean, LeBron had a big rebounding night. But Harrison Barnes last night, I thought he did some really good things. It's just, you know, you have three guys that score almost 30, and it's like, well, he didn't do that. No, but he had a nice game, I think.
Yeah, no, he certainly did last night. And I think the one thing that we can kind of – we all forget about a little bit is, you know, is Keegan is getting to be a much better rebounder.
Mm.
And Herter.
Yes.
Is really getting rebounds. Right. So
Herter had seven.
Yeah, so in other words, if Harrison gets more, do they get less? Well, probably so.
Yeah.
So as long as the team's getting them, I mean, I think he should do a little better at that.
Actually, Herter had four. Pardon me, I was looking at the wrong number.
Well, anyway, the game before, I think he did.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's also one of those things that, who knows, we don't know what Mike Brown's telling him. Also, he could say, hey, look, we got enough guys crashing. We got the best rebounder in the NBA.
Yeah, you
get back on offense.
Guard the wing and then cut
out.
We don't. Yeah, exactly. There's a little more to the story, but I think it is fair to say he is capable of doing more. We've seen it.
I think it's the peaks and valleys that drives the frustration. It's the 33 points and then the 8 points.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you just – I'd much rather just have – 12 to 16 every night.
Yeah, you'll have – that's what I always said so much about Domas, you know, is like, okay, well, it's 14 one night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
You know,
it evens out.
But it's something you can count on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We'll look ahead to tomorrow's matchup against Wembanyama when we come right back. It's the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.